How to Resist Guilt on What's Holding Women Back by Mona Chollet, read by Alex Dunmore. This book is for you, Elizabeth. Introduction. The Enemy Within. I began to hear the voice in my head about 8 years ago, when I was newly living alone after separating from my long-term partner. I had never noticed it before. I think it had been drowned out by the loving, validating words of the man I lived with. But now, every time I slipped up, the voice would unleash a torrent of abuse, as if it were only ever waiting for an excuse to shoot me down. For God's sake, how could you be so stupid? It had nothing positive to say about anything I did. Even now, when, for example, I spend long periods with my head down, writing, leaving piles of books unread and films and TV series unwatched, it mocks me. Don't you think you ought to keep up with the world around you, like every other writer? Think you're so much cleverer than everyone else you don't need to bother? Darling, you haven't a clue. And yet, when I do sit down and begin making a dent in that pile, the voice quickly loses patience. It's all very well spending your whole life reading, but maybe you should think about actually producing something of your own. This book isn't going to write itself. When I'm exchanging messages with the man I love, the voice chides me for being too open with my feelings. For goodness sake, stop it. You'll scare him off. But if I rein it in, it tells me I'm being cold and distant. How is he supposed to know what he means to you if you're always holding back? He can't read your mind. If he leaves, don't say I didn't warn you. When I go out for dinner with a friend and insist on paying the bill, the voice fumes, "You'll burn through all your savings at this rate. Besides, can't you see you're only making your friend uncomfortable? Your generosity just makes everyone else feel small." But of course, if I agree to split the bill, or allow someone else to foot it, the voice accuses me of being stingy and taking advantage of my friends. Lately, the voice has found yet more to hold against me. I've left the newspaper I worked for, and, for now at least, I don't need to look for another salaried job. Making a living as a full-time author is something I dreamed of for a long time, but never dared believe could actually happen. Like almost everyone, I spent years functioning on too little sleep, moaning and groaning as I turned my alarm off each morning, grabbing all the free time I could get. So I know how lucky I am to be in this position, even if, somewhat unexpectedly, I find myself missing being part of a team. But I can also see now that the demands of working life spared me from asking too many existential questions. As a chief sub-editor, I was too busy rewriting one article after another, worrying about hitting the monthly print deadline, joking with colleagues and lapping up the office gossip to have time to think about much else. When the job element of my life disappeared, leaving a gaping hole in its wake, an army of demons came parachuting down onto the oak parquet floor of my studio apartment and started thrashing about, gnashing their teeth. The fact that I find myself, to my continual surprise, exactly where I always wanted to be seems to have particularly exercised my new cloven-footed flatmates. There's nothing like having everything you wished for offered to you on a silver plate to churn up all your conscious or unconscious scruples. Guilt. Why me and not other people? Doubts. Is the aim of life really to make ourselves happy? Inhibitions. How exactly do we go about this business of being happy? Sense of fraudulence. I've done nothing to deserve this. It's all a big mistake. Temptation to self-sabotage. What if I just did nothing? How about just watching all 14 seasons of that series before getting back to work on my book? And other miscellaneous fears. It's too good to last. Something horrible is bound to happen to me. I've already been given a lot. It has to end sometime. Life can't go on being this kind to me. Alongside this, I am acutely aware of how lucky I am to be in this position, and exasperated at seemingly being unable to just enjoy it. How foolish and obscene to be inventing problems for yourself when your life is so comfortable. I not only feel guilty, I feel guilty for feeling guilty. I may give the impression of going about my life as breezily as ever, but the truth is, I'm engaged in daily combat with the demons in my apartment, breathless, sweating, and covered in dirt. And in the end,